Hey, RotoViz radio listener, this is Curtis Patrick from the Dynasty Command Center podcast, and I've got a special deal for you today. Go to rotoviz.com, click the subscribe button, put the 12-month subscription in your cart, and use promo code RVRadio2021. That's RVRadio2021, and you're going to save 10%. Taking advantage of this deal, getting your hands on what's included in the package is the best way to enhance your performance this year. So go to rotoviz.com and subscribe now.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the RotoViz Draft Series on RotoViz Radio, brought to you by Blue Wire. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. On today's show, I'm delighted to be joined by two of my favorite guys to talk college football with. That is John Daigle, who you can follow on Twitter at NotJDaigle. He is, of course, of NBC Sports Edge Football. And of course, Travis May is going to be joining us too. You'll know him from the College to Canton podcast on RotoViz Radio. And of course, his great work up on rotoviz.com as well. You can check out Travis's Twitter feed at FF_TravisM. Today, we're going to be talking about the quarterback position, and we're heading into a fantastic quarterback draft. And, you know, if you're not hyped already for this quarterback class, you are going to be by the time you hear the end of this conversation as we talk through it. Travis has been on with myself and Sean before, and we've talked about this possibly being the best prospect class from the quarterback position of all time. So it's going to be hype. There's going to be a lot of talk. Let's see who we think out of the big guns is going to make that leap to the NFL level, who we think might be hits, who might be misses. And of course, if there's any guys a little bit later down that draft board that might make an impact, whether it's in year one or whether it's further down the line, we'll be talking about that on today's show too. So a really, really good quarterback class. You know, we have a lot of talk now around Justin Fields and what's going to happen as well with the 49ers, Mac Jones getting some buzz, lots of different things happening. And of course, Trevor Lawrence expected to be that quarterback one taken off the board with the first pick overall by the Jacksonville Jaguars. So lots to get into. This is a four-part series. We are going to be talking quarterback, tight end, running back, and wide receiver. Check out all the episodes as they drop over the weekend of the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th of April. They may already be up by the time you're listening to this, but this is the second episode of the series. So check them all out. Really, if you do enjoy it, drop us a written review on your favorite podcast app. It is much, much appreciated. So let's dive straight into that conversation. Myself, Travis, and John. In terms of quarterbacks, and I know Travis, myself, yourself, and Sean discussed this class a couple of months back, and we were kind of trying to temper the excitement, but we probably didn't do a very good job of doing it. And myself and Sean have talked a couple of times on this podcast recently, saying, you know, about Lawrence being probably the best prospect of all time, maybe coming out of college. So in terms, John, putting this on the spot for you, is this quarterback the best quarterback class of all time? And Travis put this part together on the show sheet. Why is it a resounding definitely?
I actually also think it's the deepest for sure. We talk about Rich Rebar's Konami code making an impact in fantasy football, and that's what this class is. It's an influx of that, so much so it's going to affect rankings for best ball, dynasty, and even redraft heading into the year, because now you pretty much have to run in order to rank as a QB1, a top 12 option. And that's what a lot of these guys, you know, we say the big five because Mac Jones and the other four outside of Mac Jones do run. They're super athletes, even Lawrence himself, whereas Jones doesn't. So that's probably going to set him apart unless he does get that draft capital, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a second as well. But overall, you even go down the list, you know, Kyle Trask, Ian Book averaged 9 carries per game. It's just even the guys that are going to go in the 6th and 7th round and we may use in preseason DFS do run as well. So that's why this class just all the way down is super interesting and fun.
Yeah, I think when we've been looking over the last couple of years, Dave Caven has done some good work as well on RotoViz in terms of the running quarterbacks and how that is kind of lifting the floor of the quarterback position. And you've mentioned it there about how these guys could come in and just affect those rankings and how we kind of look at the position. Travis, I'll let you go. I know we're excited about this class, but just how excited are you the closer we get to the draft with how things are going to shake out in terms of the talent at the position?
Yeah, I mean, what John mentioned about there being a bunch of dual threat guys that can make a difference with their legs and through the air, it's a really fun class in that regard. But even if you just isolate only their passing metrics and don't do any of the yards per play stuff or kind of trying to do any mixed metrics that could help predict capital, that when you look at rushing and passing, if you just look at their adjusted yards per attempt numbers and even adjust for any kind of meaningful schematic metrics, really we're looking at a class that has Trevor Lawrence with 3 years, three full seasons of 90th percentile plus efficiency at the position, like of all time, like really like 95th plus if we're expanding it out outside like the last 10 years in terms of passing efficiency. And then you've got Justin Fields and Mac Jones, if you count his kind of abridged 2019 as a full year, with 90th percentile plus crazy passing efficiency off the charts numbers. And we can pick apart Mac Jones's, you know, schematic help and the guys around him or whatever. But, throwing 400 yards plus in five games this past year when Alabama as a program has only done that 10 times ever is just unreal. And so he might not have the Konami code, the dual threat ability going for him, but even he's really entertaining and interesting. And then Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, they might have some competition questions, but what they were able to do in their sample sizes at their peak, Zach Wilson, putting together maybe the fourth or fifth best efficiency season of all time, if you want to look at it, through the lens of maybe four or five different passing variables. And so it's incredible there. Trey Lance having that basically what perfect season in 2019 with the 28 touchdowns to zero interceptions, adding over 1,000 yards on the ground, 14 touchdowns, insane production. But my guy still as the quarterback one or two in this class is going to be Justin Fields. And I'm ecstatic. I am so tired of everyone questioning Justin Fields and getting on his case for being out 25 players against Northwestern, who was a top 20 defense, or knocking on him for, and not having a perfect Indiana game, who's also a top 15 to 20 defense by multiple measures. And then he just absolutely dunks on Clemson, puts up 400 yards and six scores, and everyone's like, it was whatever. I really hope Justin Fields goes to the 49ers and just crushes everyone's expectations for him. Like he's done at every single step of the way since he was 16 years old and had his own Netflix special, for goodness sakes, and was the top overall quarterback in his recruiting class at one point before he just got edged out by Trevor Lawrence. But Justin Fields really could be the steal of the class if he does not get taken third to the 49ers.
Yeah, so we have five guys who are definitely, I think definitely is probably the right word, going in the first round. I think upwards of the top 20 picks, and we'll see how many of those guys go in that their top 10. I think we're pretty sure that we're going to have three in the top five, and we have Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Trey Lance, and Mac Jones in that group. You've mentioned there, obviously, Justin Fields. Some people have him basically as a 1B to just behind Trevor Lawrence. Some people have him as a quarterback five in this group. So it does vary quite drastically, but you've touched on it there just in terms of how you see him. You pretty much see him just right there behind Lawrence. What's your thoughts, John, in terms of Justin Fields? I guess we'll dive in on him. And do you have him ranked as high, or do you have him slightly lower than Travis may have here?
Oh, the people who consider him top five are idiot front office who are just biased against him. That's it. The dude has the highest career average depth of target among this class. He has the highest average depth of completion among this class. Ohio State receivers have the highest cumulative drop rate among the big five we keep discussing last year. Remember in that game against Clemson, Fields averaged 13.5 yards per attempt, the college football game, mind you, and the second highest yards per attempt posted against Clemson to that point was 8.7, so nearly five more yards per attempt. If you need, you asked QB1 or QB2 or whatever, where do I stand? I've debated this a lot. I'm in a dynasty league. I run a team with Pro Football Focus's Ian Hart. It's friend of the show, I'm sure. And we have a 1.02 and need a quarterback. We built our team around running backs and tight ends because everyone else drafted wide receiver. All we did was zig when they zag, whatever, even though I'm not a running back connoisseur in dynasty leagues. And so we were stuck with Drew Lock, Sam Darnold, Kyle Allen, just a bunch of guys we were plugging in. And even though it's a one QB league, I think we're going Justin Fields at 1.02 overall. I think he's the second pick in dynasty leagues, even if he's not the number three overall pick to the 49ers, because there are still so many outs for him to be a top five, top six option, not only in his rookie contract, but this year, because he could land with the Panthers and start over Darnold if Darnold falters. He could land with the Broncos. And as we know, any rookie quarterback that falls with the Broncos is starting in the first month. Drew Lock ain't making it out of the first 2 months. And so, yeah, I love Fields as the 1.02 pretty much in every format, although I've listened to Kyle Pitts and tight end premium.
Yeah, I think I'm glad to hear you say that, John. I think me and Travis are both very in agreement there. In terms of the guys, I guess we'll say in that top five, is there any that you see, and maybe we'll just do it this way, we'll go and jump through them. I'll name the player, you say bust or not, and there's going to be five guys here. All five aren't going to be top-end quarterbacks for the next 20 years. You know, we're not going to be that spoiled, I don't think. So I'll let we'll go first to Travis. Trevor Lawrence, head or bust?
I mean, we've kind of known for 5+ years that he was going to be a hit, and he's been a hit at every single level. And you can nitpick all you want about his intermediate passing or whatever you want to say, but there's virtually no holes to poke there. And he's going to be going into a system with Urban Meyer that is going to go all in on him and probably build him some new weapons around him even this year. So I'm saying hit easy for Trevor Lawrence. And I think most people have been doing so for 3+ years.
I think there are two hits. I think Lawrence is a hit, and I honestly think Fields is a hit. All the analysis coming out of talking heads from the NFL is wrong. It's very clear. They just haven't looked at the guy all the way through. So I think he's one of the – well, he's obviously the number two quarterback prospect per me in this class. And I don't see a way he fails. Like he checks every single box.
Yeah, Fields, I mean, as I've already kind of gone on about a little bit, I'm obviously a little opinionated when it comes to Fields, but I think we might just still be scratching the surface of his potential, because he got his entire freshman season wasted at Georgia because Kirby Smart thought it was smart to start Jake Fromm instead of him. And so we've only seen two seasons, and really this past year was a shortened season. So I think he's still improving and still getting better, and he's just scratching the surface of the potential that could be one of the greats if he does land in a good spot and has decent offensive linemen that actually are able to keep him upright. That's going to be key. But I love everything about his profile, from his passing to his mobility, to the no questions about the level of competition that he was up against. And by any measure, he just is quarterback one or two. I even took him as the quarterback one last summer in an actual draft. So put my money where my mouth was last year, even a year ago. And I'm still there with Justin Fields.
I'm just going to excite Travis more here, but I will add that we don't know, we literally just don't know who's going at number three right now. But if it does happen to be Justin Fields, like, I don't know if I will do it, but I'm absolutely listening if he's the QB1 over Trevor Lawrence. I'm absolutely listening to someone give that spiel, because he does have more of a rushing floor than Lawrence, and he'll arguably be in the better offense long term.
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I think he's right there. I think I might already be there.
Good. I mean, I support it. I absolutely support it.
In terms of Lawrence, like, we've talked a lot about Chenault and Chark. There's a lot of things I love about the Jacksonville offense. They have, James Robinson, a big season last year, but there's always the problem that they are the Jacksonville Jaguars and how that works out. So like you mentioned, if he lands in that 49ers offense with Kyle Shanahan, the players that are there, Brandon Ayuk, Kittle, just so much talent that is around him. And then we can, the sky is the limit. So I think if that is the situation, that we have Lawrence at one and he's going to Jacksonville, and we have Fields heading down to the 49ers, I think that there is a real call that can be made. In terms of the other guys that we have, we'll just go rapid fire through them in terms of we're saying hit or bust, and that is Zach Wilson up next, and I'll bounce that over to John.
He's such a tough evaluation. I love watching him play too, but you talk about his schedule, of course, and Bill Connolly's SP Plus metric, only played 4 teams in the top 20 the past 2 years, and only 5 in the top 50, I believe. Also had According to ESPN's pass blocking metrics, a top 20 pass blocking unit. And you look at the names listed there, and it includes three guaranteed NFL prospects, two that are coming out this year and another that's coming out next year. So it's just really hard to know what he'll be at the next level, but he can clearly make the throws. And I just hope he succeeds. I really do, because he's such a fun player to watch. Oh, I guess I have to say hit or miss. I'm going to say hit. Although when people say bust, like, I get it. I totally understand, especially because the schedule, like, it was just so easy. But I'm going to say hit. I think his skill sets translate. And I'm so tired of trying to evaluate fringe quarterbacks whenever they do something so well. Like, we've learned this from Justin Herbert, from Josh Allen the past few years. All you got to do is link up with someone who knows how to use their quarterback and offense properly, and the sky's the limit. So I don't know about Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur, but if they know how to use Zach Wilson properly, then sure, he can definitely be an amazing prospect.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that I'm going to keep mine shorter and say that if there's a bust in this crew, it's going to be Zach Wilson. I think I have some questions with this competition. He had an insanely, like I said earlier, like, he's got maybe a top five season by, you know, adjusted efficiency passing metrics alone in this season against basically a bunch of Joe Schmoes and, you know, future non-NFL players, which was great. But yeah, I think going to a situation where it looks like he's going to the Jets, that's another reason why I just frankly, I would bet on failure. Just because whoever landed with the Jets just statistically has a way better chance of failing. Sorry, Jets fans. But that's not very analytical of me to say. But I would say if there was going to be anyone to bust out of this crew, it would be Wilson. But I hope not, because he is a lot of fun. And some of the throws he makes are just kind of silly.
So we have two left to go, and I'm going to hit with Trey Lance. And John, have your say on Trey Lance at North Dakota State.
Practically a one-year wonder, but given his entire skill set, I am going to go hit as well. Again, it's probably going to come down to the offense and coaching staff he lands with. But what I love about guys like Lance is that they just have more outs to succeed, whereas someone like Mac Jones, like, if this one thing he does really well, passing within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, making his first read, like, if that doesn't translate and he's forced to work out of structure in the league, like, permanently, let's say he slips and goes to the Lions or something, my guess is it would be an absolute disaster. Whereas Lance, at least he has the traits to make something work. So again, I will go hit. And, you know, if you just pop him into any college model, I'm pretty sure he would come out perhaps as even the number three quarterback over Zach Wilson if we knew he was just more than a one-year wonder.
I'm right there with you. I'm going to call him a hit, and because I think he has way more outs as the traits are just off the charts, and that mobility that he has, it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, I think people should be talking about Justin Fields versus Trey Lance at that two slot rather than just, oh, it's obviously Zach Wilson. And I'm right there with you, just looking at that, what he was able to do in that one crazy season. Maybe he struggles out of the gate because, frankly, he's got one semi-meaningful game of football played in the past 2 years, you know, almost. You know, by the time he actually starts an NFL game, it's going to be a long time since he actually was playing meaningful football. So maybe there's, you know, some slow start for Trey Lance, but I think ultimately he's a hit.
So I said a minute ago, and I might be getting proven wrong here, I said I don't think there's going to be five of these guys that all become superstars, you know, 5 years down the line. So we have Mac Jones left, and we could be here to get five out of five in terms of who we think is going to hit. So I'll let Travis go first on this one. Mac Jones, what's the outlook?
I mean, again, like, because this class analytically, just from a passing efficiency standpoint, is almost objectively the best quarterback class, at least this century, just from a depth standpoint. And Mac Jones is no exception, like, having two seasons of incredible pass efficiency. But when he was pressured, when he was forced to, you know, actually struggle for a second because his receivers weren't open, and within the first half second, you know, he did kind of crumble under pressure in some spots and really struggle in that way. So I think I could see that happening to where he would be another guy I would bet would bust. And it's probably has to do with a lot with his just lack of true mobility, especially when compared to any of the other four in this class.
Well, there are just still so many question marks for Jones, which is why he's a miss for me. We really don't know yet. Like, we know he has the arm strength, but we don't know about his accuracy really downfield since the stars align for him at Alabama between offensive line, backfield, receiving cast. Like, you couldn't have been put in a better situation to engineer, so you better have had monster production. And that is my concern. If he lands at number three, it probably is a hit, honestly, because they're set up well, and he'll be working with Kyle Shanahan. But anywhere else, it would be a miss, in my opinion. So that's what I'm thinking as well.
Yeah, and I definitely think I don't know if you agree, but if I was one of these quarterbacks, I know there's the prestige of going number one overall, but if I was any of these quarterbacks, I'd be kind of pretty much praying that I'm falling to number three at this point and landing in San Francisco, immediate chance to go in there and win. Everyone talks about Kyle Shanahan, his offensive mind and how things work there. The defense should have a lot of players back from injury as well. Like, I just think the upside for a quarterback coming into the league is that third spot should be the dream scenario. As I mentioned at the start of the show, this is going to be a four-part series. It was a four-part conversation. We're going to be looking as well at all the position groups, basically, in terms of the skill positions, wide receiver, tight end, running back, and quarterback. Be sure to check out all four shows as they're released. They are going to be released from the 17th of April, basically 18th, 19th, 20th, as the four shows drop day on day. Check back in on your RotoViz radio feed. Make sure you subscribe to get all those shows once they go live. So much great content on RotoViz this off-season and throughout the season. We'll have you covered. Multiple shows every single day. Get your fix as you get ready for the draft, or as you get ready for the season. Get yourself into prime position to win your fantasy championship in 2021. As always, as a loyal podcast listener, you can save yourself 10% off a one-year RotoViz subscription on rotoviz.com by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout, or by going to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. Get you access to all of the tools, all of the content up on the website. Get yourself just along with the podcast content, just gets you set up perfectly for success this upcoming year. So that once again is RV Radio 2021. That's going to do it for today's show. Make sure you join back to get all four shows as we get ready here for the draft. Hopefully you will enjoy those. If you do like them, drop a written review on your favorite podcast app. Much appreciated. If you haven't already, make sure you're following John Daigle on Twitter at @notjdaigle. That is D-A-I-G-L-E. He is, of course, of NBC Sports Edge. You can find all the content he'll be sharing there on his Twitter feed, and as well with Travis. Follow him on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. You can find all his work up on rotoviz.com. And, of course, the fantastic College to Canton podcast, where he breaks down prospects like this all the way through, maybe even a year or two before they hit that NFL stage at the draft night, or maybe even undrafted, and he gets you set up for success there. So check that out as well. Once again, that is the College to Canton podcast. Thanks to both guys for jumping on. They're both fantastic guys, fantastic followers on social media with superb content. Make sure you check them out. Of course, my name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. Until we're back with another edition of the show, of course, have a good one.